Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Are you listening? Or are you paying attention to the woman in the red dress? Welcome to another rescue mission show. You are part of the Delta Force that is going to go in and save your fellow man. I'm glad you joined us here on the 30th of June, 2016, here on the Mark Breslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. We're live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Time to 8 a.m. Central Time, followed by my good friend Mike Church, host of the Mike Church Show. As a live call-in show, that means you can call us anytime you'd like at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. But make no doubt about it, friends, we are on a rescue mission. You are part of it. You are the new Delta Force. You are out there to help your fellow man unplug the Matrix cable that he or she does not understand they have squarely plugged into the back of their head, where they are being fed information all day, every day, that the status quo is the only way to go. Vote, hope, and cope. Put your hope in this election once again, and the great lie is you won't be disappointed, and of course, we all know the truth. Those of us who have unplugged, we know the truth. Now, don't we? We know they will be disappointed yet again. The vote, hope, and cope strategy is a failed strategy. In fact, a case could be made quite easily that if you vote in this national election circus, you're actually choking yourself to death. You're actually handing the executioner the rope. You're handing him the sword. You're strapping yourself into an electric chair. You're dropping the gas pellets in your own execution. You are walking up to the firing line post, tying yourself, and then asking them to shoot you. You are participating in your own demise by participating in this national election circus. Why do I say that? Because as I've said since day one of this show, we are dealing with a bipartisan corrupt. That means both parties are corrupt. The Republicans are corrupt. The Democrats are corrupt. We're dealing with a bipartisan, a morally bankrupt group of people. Let's be honest, folks. Your guy, your gal, your vaunted congressman or, well, House member, to be accurate, or U.S. Senator is morally bankrupt. They do not do the right thing, given the chance to do the right thing. We're dealing with a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, de facto. That means it has unmoored itself from any written rule of law or any concrete limitations on its power. It has become a de jure government. It means it does whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. You know it. I know it. It is a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, de facto government. Whatever the Constitution was, is, was supposed to be, was theoretically supposed to be, it became unmoored from it. In other words, it untethered itself. Think of a ship on a dock. When the ship is tied to the dock, it can't go very far. Guess what they did back in 1791, 3 years after they ratified the Constitution, they decided, let's untie ourselves from this anchor. Let's get away from the anchor called the Constitution, and let's go march 13,000 troops into western Pennsylvania and put down a tax rebellion. We'll show the people of the United States who's boss here. So think of de facto through the lens of a sailboat, ship, whatever you want to call it, tied to a, moored to a dock. It's tied down. It can't move. Well, de jure means, heck with those ropes. We're going our way. We have a bipartisan corrupt, morally bankrupt. They don't do the right thing, given the chance to do the right thing. De facto versus de jure government that has unmoored itself from the anchor, making it illegitimate. It only is legitimized by you voting for it, by you asking for your executioner to lop your head off. I don't mind being stolen from by the Republicans, but I hate being stolen from by the Democrats. That's essentially what you're saying when you buy into partisanship. You are essentially saying, as long as I'm being stolen from by the Republicans, I'm okay with it. But doggone it, don't you let those doggone Democrats steal from me. So you legitimize the illegitimate by running to the polls every November and pulling a trigger for your favorite guy. It is evil. Why is it evil? Shall we count 56 million dead babies? Now, there's two parties to that evil, isn't there? Well, there's really three parties. There's the woman who walks into that abortion clinic and says, kill my baby. There is the doctor that says, for $395, I'll kill that baby. And then there's a wicked, evil group of politicians that say, we're gonna make it legal for you to do so. How can that be anything other than evil? You know, we pound our chests and we point back at Stalin and Pol Pot and Hitler, Idi Amin, and we say, how could that happen? How could the people of Germany allow for the rise of evil in their midst? And we pound our chest as if, you know, we have the right to have moral indignation towards them. And we call what Stalin and Pol Pot and Hitler did evil. Well, folks, it was legal to kill Jews. Pause and think about where you live in the hashtag American Union that has allowed for three parties to come together and wholesale slaughter 56 million babies who had no right to due process, who couldn't go down to their local town and hire an attorney to please defend me before they kill me. Their rights were stripped from them by seven of nine politically connected attorneys in black dresses back in 1973, but then has been perpetuated by every Congress from that point forward. You want moral clarity? You're going to get moral clarity. Why do I not vote in this election? Why would I legitimize evil? Why would I send a message? Not only am I sending a message to Washington, D.C. Hey, hang me. Here's the rope. Hey, rip me off. Hey, can you take some more out of my paycheck? I'm okay with it as long as you're a Republican, but I don't like it when the Democrats do it. Let's be honest, folks. Let's boil partisanship down to what it is. That's all it is. I don't mind it when the Republicans abuse me, but I'm going to fight tooth and nail when the Democrats abuse me. That's what you're going to hear on mainstream conservative talk radio all day today. All day you're going to hear that. It's the Democrats. They won't say it this way, but they really are saying we don't mind being molested by the Republicans because somehow it's just worse being molested by the Democrats. And then you have to begin to wonder why. Right? You got to stop and back up a little bit from all the emotions associated with partisanship and say, why? Why is it so much better being ripped off by the Republicans than it is by the Democrats? Because there's a lot of money to be made to get you to think that way. Think of all the money that is exchanged from mainstream conservative talk radio to get you to tune in and hear that the real battle is not about morality. The real battle is about power. And by golly, them Democrats, them antichrist Democrats have got to be stopped. Ignore that the Republicans do absolutely nothing and do the exact same thing as the Democrats. That's not the point, Kreslins. I warned you yesterday, Kreslins, if you get into this secession stuff again, if you get into this moral clarity stuff again, I'm tuning you out. Rush told me the most important thing we need to do is stop Hillary Clinton. We needed to stop Obama last time. We didn't do it so well, did we? So, Kreslins, you're actually working against the partisan cause here. So if you don't get on board with partisanship and stop with your stupid moral clarity stuff, I've got my finger on the button again and don't think I won't click it. There's a lot of money to be made in partisanship. Lots of money. Follow the dollar, folks, to this stuff. Follow the dollar and it will show you it'll make crystal clear why we have partisanship, why we have breathless reporting that this is the most important election of our lifetime. My gosh, if we don't run to the polls in November, the world will start spinning backwards. Clouds will begin to form on the East Coast and move towards California. Folks, well, that can happen with hurricanes, but all right, set aside the technical details of my argument for a moment, okay? I think you get the point. We're reminded constantly. Yet, as you all know, and I suspect you agree with me, especially if you're in this listening audience, what we have is a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, de facto versus de jure government that is illegitimate, only made legitimate because people run to the polls and say, hang me, keep killing the babies. Evil government located in the 10 square of swamplands we affectionately refer to as Washington, D.C., comprised of a parasitic elected and non-elected bureaucratic class of people that earn pretty good livings sucking it off of your paycheck that you work hard for. How's that feel? See, when you break it down to that kind of truth, doesn't feel so good about running to the polls in November and hoping your guy gets into Washington. You just watch, Kreslins. If Tom Cole gets in there like he's been in there the last 20 years, heads are going to spin. If James Lankford wins, you just watch. And if we can somehow get Cruz out of there and now get Mitt Romney back there, you just watch. I mean, not Ted Cruz, Donald Trump. If we can find some way to get Donald Trump out of there and get Mitt Romney in there, well, Krizlins, you just watch what'll happen. I'll tell you, all these anti-Trump people. Now, let me issue my normal disclaimer. I am not voting for Donald Trump. I'm not voting for anybody. I'm writing in. I don't consent to this system of government. But with that said, you anti-Trump people, you really concern me. I think maybe you have been listening to mainstream conservative talk radio a bit too much and a bit too long. Living in an illusion or a delusion that your guy who lost in the primary would have been the magic recipe to fixing all that ails us is just that. It's a delusion. And so a guy shows up that is rattling everybody's cage. I get it. This is he an immoral guy? Yeah, well, you know what? So's have you looked at the lives of some of the guys on mainstream conservative talk radio? Believe me, there's a lot of stories out there you all don't know. But Donald Trump, oh yeah, he's the second Antichrist, second only to Hillary Clinton. Is the guy a unregenerated, wicked man? Yeah, well, so are you. The Bible does declare all of us to be fallen men, right? Is he one of the less articulate people? Does he do silly things like calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas? I actually think it's quite entertaining. Yes. Does he have his shortcomings? Of course he does. But what has he done for certain? He has shaken up the establishment, hasn't he? The people, the anti-Trump people, claim they are against. Their guy wasn't shaking up the establishment. Now, was it? Were they? Of the 17 original Republican candidates, which one there, besides old Dr. Ben, was actually disconcerting to the establishment? None of them, except Trump and Ben. Why? Because neither one of them were politicians. Neither one of them had a very good grasp on the intricacies of legislation and how the big boys do it in there in Capitol Hill. They weren't the most articulate guys on the state on the platform. They didn't know all the names of the other ruling elite in around the globe. All the other guys were establishment. Now, their PR team may have tried to make them look like they weren't establishment, but check their voting records, folks. Everybody else up there had a voting record. Ah, we don't want that. We get caught up in the personality. Ted Cruz is a constitutional conservative, after all, whatever the heck that means. So now it's Mitt Romney, apparently. Apparently, the old mister is going to come off the bench and save the day. Going to save the day. Well, you can believe that for another 30 years. I don't. I will not. I believe it's immoral to legitimize evil. Call me an old fogey. Call me stodgy. Call me, what is it? Not a hypocrite. Krizlins, you just think you're better than everybody. Whatever the word is for that. Call me that. But my conscience will be clear when I walk out of the voting booth in November, having voted only for local representatives, perhaps a couple of amendments to our Constitution, I will walk out with a clear conscience knowing that I did not both contribute to my own demise by voting for these hacks. I will have issued a statement on my ballot saying I don't consent to this ridiculous system of government. So who will have a clean conscience? I am fighting aggressively to end the evil of abortion in this state, Oklahoma. That is where it's, yes, that's it, condescending. Thank you, Rick. I sometimes, as a talk show host, am not the best talk show host in the world because I start down a thought and then my mind zips off to the right and I forget certain words I intended to use. So I may not be as good as others, but we have a great listening audience that then helps me, who then sends me the words that I was trying to dig out of my brain but couldn't. So thank you, Rick, for, you're right. You may think I'm being condescending to you. I'm not. I am merely stating my moral position. I cannot morally legitimize the illegitimate. I cannot morally legitimize evil. Again, with the abortion issue, there are three evil parties there. The woman who walks in with her checkbook or credit card or cash and saying, kill my baby. The doctor who says, sure, give me the $395 and I will do the deed. I will kill that baby. And then in some ways, and I may be wrong on this, you can call me and tell me if I'm fudging on this. In some ways, the bigger guilty party here are those that make it appear to be legal to kill a baby, who strip a human being of unalienable rights, in some legal construct, strip them of the right to due process, to defend themselves. In some ways, and not being me wrong, I'm curious to hear what you guys would think about this. In some ways, it feels to me like they are more complicit in this evil than the woman who walks in and the doctor who does the deed. Because they have worked aggressively to create an aura, a sense that this is legal. Just because something is legal does not make it right, folks. I think you all agree with me on that. In fact, I pretty much know you do. But we need a lot more people to have moral clarity on this government. And I think those who work aggressively to make what is clearly evil appear to be legal, to me, I have to think about this biblically, but I want to make them more culpable. I want to say to them, you knew to do right and you did wrong. And not only did you do wrong, you created a perception that wrong was right. Shame on you. And so to all these federal candidates that are going to run around in the Republican Party claiming to be pro-life, getting their fannies into those seats up there for $175,000 a year, and then do nothing more than issue a few speeches from time to time about how they grieve over the loss of an innocent life. Shame on you for doing nothing. That's easy. And shame on us for buying into that system of government. Again, everything Hitler did was legal under their system of government that they constructed. But we pound our chest now. We point back to the 40s and we wonder aloud, why? How did they let that happen? We point back and we pound our chest and say how evil Pol Pot was. And they were. How evil Stalin was. And how evil Hitler was. And we point to Washington, D.C. and we say, well, there's our guy. Folks, we need moral clarity on this issue. You're not going to get it listening to mainstream conservative talk radio. All you're going to get there is we've got to stop Hillary. They're tacitly telling you it's okay to be abused and robbed by the Republican Party, but just make sure you're not abused and taken advantage of by the Democrats. Woo. Oh, yeah. I can get real excited about that. Oh, yeah. That's what I wake up. I can't wait to see how I can stop the Democrats from abusing me and be happy that the Republicans are. Folks, this is a bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt, illegitimate, evil government. You have got to do something about it. We have got to do something about it. We're approaching a celebratory weekend we refer to as Independence Day. We look back at them, and whether or not historians will ever agree on whether the tyranny they claim they were under was real, imagined, kind of real, kind of imagined, kind of propagandized, at the end of the day, the Protestant Revolution, Mike. But seriously, the war for independence began with an idea that the king and the parliament were illegitimate authorities in their lives for a whole host of reasons. Some of it was just as simple as they were becoming American in their ideas. They were moving away from being subjects of the king. Heck, I mean, think about it. Didn't they kind of earn it? They're the ones that got on those ships and sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. They're the one. Did the king get on a ship and sail across the ocean and plant a flag in the Chesapeake Bay and say, I hereby declare as King of England that this is hereby forward a territory of the great monarchy. No, it was those guys who took a big risk. I mean, you know, we're a little bit scared getting on a Southwest airline, wondering, oh no, is it going to take off and land? Am I going to safely get to my destination? I get that. There's a little fear there. But it's nothing like getting on one of those ships and sailing across the Atlantic to someplace you have no idea where you're going to even land. You think you have a general target, Northern Virginia, but uh-oh, we got blown a little off course. We ended up here in Massachusetts. That's exactly right, Alan. I'll back off, Ted. Yeah, we don't take those kinds of risks. No, we get in our Southwest cattle car, we eat our bag of peanuts, and we fly along at nearly 500 miles an hour, and we traverse the country in a few hours. They got on a boat for weeks and weeks and weeks, heading to an uncertain future. And they planted their fannies in Massachusetts and started figuring out, oh no, how do we even make it the winter? Folks, they left in a very difficult time of the year. They arrived on the East Coast in a very difficult time of year. There was no Marriott there waiting for with a concierge saying, where would you like us to take your bags? We have a continental breakfast in the morning. Think about it, folks. Put yourself in their shoes when they finally get on shore and they look around. They take an immediate look, figuring out, okay, are there bears coming out of the woods? Are we going to get shot? We heard of these Indians over there. We refer to them as savages. Are they going to come and kill us? Think of those first few moments when the first people walk off the boat and start figuring out, okay, we're here, now what? They had to cut down trees. They had to create firewood. In a sense, when you play out from that point forward, why wouldn't there be a sense that we earned this? We're the ones who took all the risks. So that maybe by the time you get to 1774, there is a kind of an American identity that is formed. Yeah. We're subjects of the king. Yeah, we like being the protection of the king. But, you know, wink, wink, we're kind of becoming a little bit of our own group of people over here. Maybe it really was tyranny. Maybe everybody was quaking in their boots there and saying, oh, there's a British soldier. Kids, run for the back alley. Whenever you see a red coat, lock the doors. You know, we don't know. Historians are never going to completely agree on this, whether the tyranny really had reached the level of what could be considered revolutionary action. But the bottom line is they actually did something. You know, you can at least pat them on the back for saying they followed their convictions. I think their interests were largely correct. But like any movement of that sort, there's going to be rabble-rousers in there that shouldn't be in there. There's going to be perhaps some misguided thinking. But at least they did something. What do we do? Well, Kreslins, you watch. I'm going to get my I voted sticker in November, and I'm going to show them. I am going to cast my vote against that Democrat. And you just watch what the Republicans do, Kreslins. Bucko. You think your silly little ideas about exit and Texit and all that other stuff amounts to anything? It doesn't, Kreslins. Voting, hoping, and coping is my way forward. I'm going to show them Democrats just how evil I think they are when I take that I voted sticker and I pat it on my chest, and I'm going to walk out, and I'm even going to tell people I voted Republican. And you watch. You just watch, Kreslins. This time, it's going to work because this is the most important election of our lifetime, Kreslins. If we don't get it right this time, if we don't somehow knock Donald Trump off the stage and get Mitt Romney there to show Hillary and those Democrats, I know it doesn't even sound very good, Kreslins, but it feels good to me right now that Mitt Romney, because I have been told now for months that Donald Trump is as evil as Hillary. Notwithstanding the fact everybody hates Donald Trump up there, the establishment hate Donald Trump and they love Hillary. But that's not the point, Kreslins. I have been told by the dump Trump crowd that our guy, Ted Cruz, did not get it, and therefore that makes Trump evil. And I'm going to dump Trump. You know, some of the arguments for dumping Trump out there really astound me. They obviously don't know about some of the people they put in office who are just as morally decrepit as Donald Trump. But that's okay. How about Newt? How about all you people? I'll bet you half of the dump Trump crowd was supporting Newt Gingrich. You all do know the story about the Newtster, don't you? And his cancer-stricken wife and the divorce. Oh, Kreslin said, that's not important. What's important is Donald Trump has had three wives, and he calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. And he called my guy Lion Ted, and he called my guy Little Marco. Don't don't start moralizing about Newt and the bedside divorce papers to his cancer-stricken wife. We didn't want to dump Newt. You know, folks, again, I'm not voting for Trump, but, you know, how about some of you dump Trump people get off your high horses? You have supported some pretty decrepit people out there. Ted Cruz is not a natural-born citizen, but yet he's a constitutional conservative. He should have morally withdrawn himself. But that's not the point, Crescent. You just don't understand how law works. You don't. Congress dealt with that issue back in 1798. They changed the Constitution back then. Now, I know they didn't do it through an amendment to the Constitution. That's not the point, Creslins. Congress does what it wants. Isn't that somewhere in Article 1? Isn't there a clause that says, ignore all the other clauses, Congress can just do whatever it wants? I know there's a clause in there somewhere. Just like there's a verse in the Bible that says, God helps those who help themselves. Of course, there's no verse in the Bible that says that. And of course, there's no clause in the Constitution that says Congress can do whatever it wants whenever it wants to, although they do. You and I both know it. So, Creslins, get off of Ted Cruz. He's not even running anymore. All right, Creslins, we'll concede based on your stupid little originalist ideas about the Constitution that maybe he wasn't a natural born citizen. But you know what? That doesn't matter. He's a constitutional conservative, and he was going to really stick it to Hillary. So you folks on the dump Trump train, perhaps you should examine your own reasons and rationale for dumping the Trumpster and apply them to your guy. Maybe your guy's not a divorcee who has had affairs or has tried to steal property through eminent domain. Maybe your guy hasn't done that. Better dig a little deeper, though. You might find things that they have done that should offend your sense of morality, your high horse that you're on about stopping the Trumpster. I actually enjoy that he's there. I think it's hilarious how terrified he has made the establishment in Washington, D.C., those sycophants up there who look down at you over their noses. I actually think it's quite refreshing that Trump is there. And at a minimum is exposing that there is a lot of anger in this country, in this hashtag American Union. I hope you all are using that hashtag out there. I do see it. Continue to hashtag the heck out of American Union. That way, when we want to exit the American Union, much like Great Britain exited the European Union, it will kind of just make sense to the average person out there. Oh, we're in an American Union just like the European Union. So maybe our state can exit the American Union just like the European Union. Creslins, I think that's not a bad idea. Hashtag American Union. At a minimum, the Trumpster is revealing that people are angry at their government. Large numbers of them. They have a misguided hope that Trump will fix that. He won't. He can't. But he's a sure heck of a lot more refreshing than the stodgy, typical candidate that was up there. I mean, let's be honest. Carson would have been interesting for a whole different set of reasons if he had somehow found a way to get himself into power or into the nomination. But Trump is just a tad bit more flamboyant than old Ben, shall we say. Oh, boy, what a world we live in today. So, well, folks, you know, at the end of the day, I've made my claims clear. I will not be participating in this national election circus. because, as I stated out, started out at the very beginning of the show, it is a bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt de facto versus de jure, illegitimate, and evil, E-V-I-L, government. Why would I legitimize it with my vote? Am I wrong? Can a case be made by calling 844-527-8723 and say, Kreslins, you just don't understand? You're moralizing too much. You've got to be a good citizen and participate in this national election circus. Kreslins, can you make a case? Call me and make it. 844-527-8723. I'll be willing to entertain your ideas. Right now, we got to head out to a break. We got to pay some bills. Want to remind everybody, we are close. We are so close to meeting our June goals. If you're a new listener and you have not become a Founders Pass member, please do so today. We are razor thin close to meeting our objectives. Thank you to all of you in the 90s, the 90 some odd people that have signed up to become Founders Pass members this month. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This is a for-profit venture, and without customers, guess what most businesses can't do if they don't have any customers? Typically, they can't stay in business. So we are a for-profit business that is offering a product. We believe it to be a very unique product in all of talk radio, and you know we are. You will not hear the things I just talked about the last 40 minutes. Some of you say, Kreslins, you didn't talk about things. You blathered on for 40 minutes. You occupied my brain in ways that is unhealthy to me for 40 minutes. But then others of you are saying, well, that's exactly what needs to be said, but you're not going to hear this over on mainstream talk radio. No, we are offering a different product. Just like you have a choice between Coke and Pepsi, we are offering you a choice between truth and deception. You want to get lied to? Go over to mainstream conservative talk radio or talk to or listen to Fox News. You want truth? Then you've got to stay here at the Veritas Radio Network. But in order to keep this thing going forward, to pay our bills, we need more of you to become Founders Pass members. But we never want to forget the customers that have gotten us here. Just like a football team doesn't forget the fans that got them to the Super Bowl, we're never going to forget those of you who got us here. We're here now because of you. So don't ever think you're forgotten once you become a Founders Pass member, not here in the Veritas Radio Network. That would be immoral of us. We would not be on the moral high ground if we forgot you. Thank you. We mean that. Thank you. You've bought our product. We hope we're living up to your expectations. We are here to serve you. Remember the great words of our Lord and Savior Jesus, I came to serve, not to be served. Now, of course, he was using that verse in spiritual terms, but there is business application here as well. We're here to serve you. So we thank you for all of you who have become Founders Pass member. Yes, we have to go forward and get more, but we never want to forget that which is behind. We stand on great shoulders out there. But, however, if you are a new listener and you're not a Founders Pass member, you can become one today for 23 cents a day. That's all it'll cost you. It's so easy to do. Just go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the join button. You'll see a whole host of ways that you can join. So please consider doing so today. I will tell you one of the great weaknesses I have in my life when it comes to making decisions like this is I put them off. I say, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'm too busy. Don't put it off today, folks. We've got another day left. Today's the 30th. This is the last day of the month. We've got to close this gap here, folks. We're very close to reaching our target. It will help if you are not a Founders Pass member and you actually become one today before the day closes out. We could sure use your help. Our telephone number here is 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. And if you were a Founders Pass member and you missed any of this initial segment of the Mark Kreslins Show on the Crusade channel, Veritas Radio Network, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be, if you missed any of this, you would be able to download it in the future. You'd be able to listen to this. But you can only do so if you're a Founders Pass member. So please become one today, VeritasRadioNetwork.com/ join or click the join button. That's usually easier for me. Well, folks, this is the Mark Reslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. We'll be right back.